Blog Talk Radio.
You're tuned in to Paranormal Horizons, only on 106.5 KITC FM and Blog Talk Radio. Join your hosts, Jason Ophir and Pat Rice, as we delve into the world of the paranormal. The world of ghosts, UFOs, demons, and even Bigfoot.
Welcome to the world of the paranormal, everyone. I'm Pat Rice here on Paranormal Horizons Radio Show, Blog Talk Radio, and KITC-FM. I'm on my own for right now. My co-host, Jason Ophir, had a very busy day. He is a student. For those of you that know him, he's learning a new trade. I think he'll be joining us later in the show, but had some commitments that he had to stick to for his classes. So I am going to entertain you for the show here. We have a great guest, Aaron Bilbrey, a friend of Paranormal Horizons. He's been on the show before. Dayton, Ohio Supernatural is his group. We talked to him, oh my goodness, back in March of this year. Boy, does time fly. Can you believe it's Thanksgiving next week? And then, my goodness, it will be Christmas. Oh, boy. Well, I don't need to preach about that. We all have some of those same sentiments. Not that we don't like the holidays, but as you get older, it seems like life just flies by. I don't know why. But anyway, really going to be great to talk to Aaron. He's actually done some investigations that we want to chat with him about this evening. And I wanted to just mention a few reminders. Blog Talk Radio, you can always listen to the demand episodes of this show anytime you want by just going to Blog Talk Radio Paranormal Horizons. And then we do rebroadcast this show 10 p.m. Pacific Time Saturdays. KITCFM.com is the website. That's a real radio station, FM station, and we're very privileged to be part of that station as they pick up our show. So we really like that. And yeah, I just, so much going on in the paranormal world. Last week we had a great conversation with Isola, who's a numerologist and a psychic, and she actually did a numerology reading on Jason, which he had never had, and that was great fun to hear about that. But it was so accurate that it was, I think it blew Jason's mind. I'm just going to say that. It takes a lot to do that for Jason Ophir, but I think that it did. And we were really grateful to have her on the show. Hopefully she will come on again, and especially into our roundtables. About once a month we have a roundtable session where we don't have a special guest. We just talk about whatever may be on the forefront in the paranormal or possibly controversial subjects that anyone would like to talk about. So be sure to tune in or call in when we have the roundtable sessions, because we really like to have everyone's input on those, because that just makes it more fun to have more people to chat with. Also wanted to mention another friend of Paranormal Horizons, Mord McGee. Now, Mord is a writer. We did talk with him a couple months ago about his book, Ghosts of San Francisco. That book has been out, I want to say, for about a year. It's very interesting. It's more on the sci-fi, but it's got some creepy kind of paranormal stuff as part of the storyline in that book, Ghosts of San Francisco. Now, Mord has just finished his second book, Murdered Red Ink. And that's going to have a big kickoff on November 24th. You can go to Goodreads, just like it sounds, good, and then reads.com, and you'll be able to buy the book for kind of getting some special deals on that day, November 25th. I think it goes on for a day. You can also get a signed copy of the book as well. So Mord McGee, Ghosts of San Francisco. He is really just a very interesting person. He's also, you know, into some paranormal stuff as well, but writing is his passion right now, so be sure to check that out. And we've got some great future guests coming up also on Paranormal Horizons. So I don't want to spill the beans of who they are yet. I'll wait for Jason to announce that. So, yeah, we should be able to talk with Aaron Bilbrey here in a few minutes, just waiting for him to call into the queue this evening. And then hopefully Jason will be running in the door after getting off the bus. I'm saying bus kind of sarcastically because he's a school guy now. And then able to call into the show, Paranormal Horizons. And I wanted to let everyone know that if you are interested in being on the show, you can contact us through Facebook, private message, and we'll contact you back about being on the show. We've just started a website as well. It's accessible, and that's horizonsradio.com. Horizonsradio.com. The website is still in the works, but you can definitely check it out. We've got some links there for past shows, future shows, things like that. And we'll continue to update that as we go along. But we'll still keep the Facebook page as well. Who can live without Facebook? Raise your hand. Okay, I see a couple out there. I know there are some Facebook opposers, but I really do like Facebook. I use it a lot for promotion of, you know, radio shows and events and things like that. Keeps me in touch with family as well. But, you know, that's not what we're here to talk about. We're here to talk about paranormal. And I'm going to go ahead and get Aaron on the line. It looks like he's in the queue. Aaron Bilbrey, Dayton, Ohio, Supernatural, and we're going to be able to kind of catch up with him. He was on the show back in March. Hi, Aaron.
Hey, Pat. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Oh, pretty good. Pretty good. Glad to be back. It's been a while.
I know. You know, I was kind of going through my notes, and we had you back in March, and I know that we wanted to have you on the show sooner, but time just seems to fly by, and I know we're always busy, and time gets away from us. But last time you were on the show, well, first of all, just for the audience, I want to let everyone know that you're the founder of Dayton, Ohio Supernatural. Is that correct, Aaron?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, and I recall when we talked with you earlier in the year, you were really kind of a skeptic kind of person getting into paranormal. You had some circumstances that happened to you, and then eventually you became a believer, and obviously a pretty strong one, because now you're a paranormal investigator.
Right. That's true.
Yeah. And I think one of the things that really convinced you was some EVPs that you and I guess some of your other friends, you guys actually got some EVPs, and then that led you into being a believer.
Yeah, that's right. Prospect Place in Trinway, Ohio was probably one of the first places we went where I ended up getting some EVPs that kind of began to convince me more and more. And then after we went to Sandsville Rectory a couple years ago, that really sort of gave us a lot more EVPs than we were even ever used to. So that really sort of cemented my belief in the paranormal.
Yeah. I guess it is really great when you really can get some solid proof, and it, everybody that is interested in paranormal, there's just different things that have made them a believer. Oh, it looks
right.
Like Jason's on the line, Aaron. I'm going to go ahead and get Jason up. There he is.
Hey, I'm alive.
Hi, Jason.
Hi, Jason.
How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. Pretty rushed today. Hey, Aaron, how's it going?
Good, how are you?
Doing good. Trying to settle down.
Yeah, I explained to the audience that you are now a student again and that you had a field trip, so they all understand.
Yeah, we got to go to a regional lab, which is really interesting. It's a very large facility that tests all your blood when you go, and it's just kind of crazy.
Yeah, blood kind of fits in here with the paranormal. But anyway, Jason, we're just getting started here with Aaron. I was just refreshing our memories. He was on the show last March. Can you believe it's been that long?
Wow, time flies.
Yeah,
it, really
it sure does. But anyway, Aaron, let's get right down to the meat of it. Now, last time we talked with you, your team, Dayton, Ohio, was going to Bobby Mackey's.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right.
Now, is that one of the investigations you want to share with us tonight, or is there a different one? I know we've got some EVPs lined up. Are they from Bobby Mackey's or a different investigation?
No, you know, I think I was on since we went to Bobby Mackey's. I think I was on one month later than March.
Yeah.
You were.
I think this is your third time on.
Oh my gosh, so we did do, yeah, I just remember, it all clicked in when you said that, because yeah, I remember you describing some of the things that happened, so I apologize for that. So what's
okay.
been going on since Bobby Mackey's?
Well, in September, we took a weekend and we did two places here in Ohio. We did Bell Nursing Home, which is in Kimbleton, Ohio, sort of east of Columbus a little bit, and that was really neat. It's a really cool place to go. It was a nursing home up until about the year 2000, somewhere in that time, and then it's closed down. But it's still got, you know, every room still has the beds in it, and it still has the equipment everywhere, and it's still like fully furnished as far as a nursing home.
Wow.
It's really neat, and they have a whole closed circuit deal going on there that you can record your whole time there, and you know, just load it up on a flash drive before you go. So that was really convenient.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as EVPs, we didn't get a whole lot of EVPs there, but one of our people saw sort of a partial apparition come out of a room, like it was the front of a nursing gown or a hospital gown. They just saw it for about 1 second come out of a room, and it was just like the front, like it was, somebody was wearing it, but you couldn't see the person, just sort of the front of the nursing gown. And I took some pictures, and there was a rather large orb in my pictures right outside that room, but I didn't get any pictures of a gown or anything like that.
Now, Aaron.
Oh, real
go
quick.
Ahead, Jason.
Speaking of orbs, we were talking about orbs the other day. What's your stance on them? Do you believe they're spirits or just some sort of anomaly like dust?
They can be mistaken for dust, or dust mistaken for orbs, vice versa. But I found some pretty strange orbs in my times. At Prospect Place, I got a video of an orb. It's on my page, actually. You can probably find it. It sort of travels along the floorboard, and then you don't see it for a minute, and then it kind of pops up and goes over and up and over, almost like it's drawn a staircase. And we've had other strange orbs in other places. At Green Dew Mansion in Ohio, there's a video I have of an orb. We're sitting at one end of the hallway, and you look down to the other end of the hallway, you see one come out of a room, and it just sort of serpentine, like, comes towards me, and that's also on my page as well, if anybody wants to check that out. I definitely believe in orbs. We were at Fox Hollow Farm in Indiana. That was one of our most recent investigations. And my girlfriend took a picture down in the billiard room, and there's orbs everywhere. It looks, you would say by looking at it, oh, it's dust, because they're just everywhere in the picture. And then about a minute later, she takes another picture in the same exact spot. Nothing. No orbs. Nothing in that area. So I don't know how to explain that, what that was. I've tried to come up with different reasons for why that would be, but really, I got nothing.
So it's kind of a piece of evidence that needs to be scrutinized a little bit, and paid attention to, and have come to your own conclusions kind of situation.
Yeah, I don't know what could have caused that. I thought, you know, maybe it was full of dust, and then maybe an air conditioner kicked on or something and moved it all out, but I don't think it would move out 100% of what I had just seen, but I don't know.
Yeah. Now, Aaron, that nursing home that you talked about, you said it was called, was it Bell? Did you say Bell, like B-E-L-L?
Yeah, Bell.
Okay. Now, and it closed down in 2000. But how long had it been in existence, and why is it haunted? I mean, or I guess, why is there activity there? Is it just because a lot of people, I guess, passed away there, or is there something else that has happened there?
As far as the stories surrounding it, I don't think there was anything in particular that may have imprinted it. I think it's just, you know, the actual loss of life in that building over time. We did have a few strange things happen. We had a word come up on the obelisk that it said Salairan, S-A-L-I-R-A-N. And, you know, I'd never heard that word before, and I found it hard to believe that, you know, the obelisk is programmed with that word. I looked it up, and really all I can find on that word is some sort of city in the Middle East. but other than that, I have no idea why that word would come up on an obelisk.
When you were there in the Bell Nursing Home in Ohio, did it feel creepy?
Oh, yeah, it's very creepy. And the entire town is creepy. I mean, it's just a little tiny burg. If you blink, you'll miss it. There's not even a McDonald's or a gas station that I could see in the town. But there were a couple pretty old cemeteries in the town and, you know, some houses that surrounded the place. And I think they have the woman who owns it. She's really nice. And I think she has Halloween parties out there every year because there's still some decorations laying around, Halloween decorations. And there's like a little pile of dolls where people have come and left their creepy dolls there.
dolls.
I'm looking at a picture at it right now. I just Googled it, and it looks like a very square, creepy old, big house kind of thing. I can see just walking around outside and getting the creeps from it, because it does. I mean, who knows what haunted looks like, but if anything looks haunted, that place looks like it'd be haunted.
Right, and it's much bigger in person than it looks in some of those pictures. And some of the pictures, it looks just like a square little house, but it actually goes back really far. And then sort of there's another wing that goes off that you don't really see in some of those pictures online.
You know, it's kind of interesting because I don't know how you guys feel, but even if I go into a nursing home that has, you know, people that are alive right now, you know, an existing nursing home, they always feel creepy to me. I mean, because, and I'm not saying they don't serve a purpose. My gosh, you know, it's just something that's needed. And, but I remember, you know, having, for whatever reason, going to some throughout the years and just, you know, I think whenever you're around, even hospitals, when you're around people that are sick or ill or whatever, and there's this, you know, possibility of death or death has happened, that, you know, sensitive folks like ourselves, we kind of pick up on these vibes. At least that's how I've always felt, you know, and I can handle it, you know, better now that I'm older. But I remember, you know, at a younger age, it was just like, oh God, I got to get out of here. You know, this place is weird. So.
Right. Oh yeah, I know. And my thinking is, what better place to ghost hunt? Because, you know, when these people were alive, they sat around and waited for somebody to come and visit and talk to them.
Yeah. They're sad. It's a sad place.
Right.
Yeah.
So, you know, in the afterlife, maybe they're still waiting for somebody to come and talk, and maybe they would be more eager to talk than, you know, spirits at other places.
Yeah, well said, yeah. So, Aaron, what else have you done? I know we've got some, again, I mentioned earlier, we've got some EVPs from you, so I'm dying to hear where these are from, and then we can actually play those for the audience.
Well, one of them that I sent you is another place that we did the same weekend as Bell Nursing Home. It's Old Licking County Jail in Newark, Ohio. And it's a county jail there. It was recently on Ghost Adventures episode, probably, I want to say July it was on. The man that runs it there, he used to be a policeman there in Newark, and now he's got his own paranormal group. His name's Eric Glosser, United Paranormal Project. And he runs it down there. And it's really a creepy, gothic-style old fortress, basically. And it's got, like, four stories high. And, you know, the sheriffs and people live there, too. So there's, like, a living side to it along with the jail side. And the jail side had both men and women's cell blocks. So, you know, fourth floor would be like men's, and third floor would be like women's, and second floor men's. It's spectacularly creepy. A couple of my other crew members, they were in one of the cells, and they felt just like something entered the cell with them and really scared him sort of out of the cell and back out. And when we went back in there, we caught one of the EVPs I sent you guys. It sounds like just like an old guy in there yelling, "Get out of here!" Sort of. And,
really? Now, is it large? How big of a jail is it?
It's pretty big. I mean, it's in the middle of town, or maybe on the outskirts of town a little bit, on a city block. I'm not very good at square feet, but it's a pretty big place. It's bigger than the nursing home, for sure.
Oh, wow. Well, that is big then.
Like I said, it's got four stories tall, and then it's also got a cellar, which they call the dungeon.
Ew.
And it is a lot like a dungeon down there for sure. But it's a big place. If anybody can catch the, you know, the Ghost Adventures episode, or if they go to the site for the Old Licking County Jail, I think they had the episode on there along with other people's evidence and pictures and history.
Well, why don't we go ahead and listen to this EVP, or go ahead, Jason.
I was going to say, just in case any of the listeners out there don't watch Ghost TV or know what an EVP is, I was hoping Aaron could just give a really brief explanation on what an EVP is.
Sure. It stands for electronic voice phenomenon, and a lot of times it'll be something that you record on your digital recorder that you didn't hear at the time, you know, but when you listen back and, you know, a lot of times you'll hear these things that are people talking that you didn't hear, you know, the first time.
Cool.
Right on. Well, let's go ahead and hear this EVP, Jason.
Okay. I'm going to play it once with the way the audio is set on it right now. And if it doesn't come across loud enough, then we can play it again. So we'll just try it at this volume level.
Great.
So here we go. This is the Licking County Jail.
Yeah. And the old prison uniform.
Huh.
I heard "Get Out of Here." Is that what was on there? Okay.
Yeah,
do you want me to play it again?
Yeah. So the first couple voices are probably your team, right, Aaron?
Yeah.
And then it's more at the end. Okay. Yeah, let's hear that again.
Okay, I've turned it up a little bit. Here we go.
Yeah.
That
was kind of cool. And the old prison uniform.
Huh.
Oh, my gosh.
So it's that whisper that it's like, get out of here.
That is
creepy.
I would have ran. I would have ran at that moment. So what happened, Aaron?
You know, like I said, we didn't hear it at the time. You know, it wasn't until I listened to the recordings later.
Yeah.
Well, something didn't want you there. That's what
right.
that sounds like.
Well, where were
right.
you? Where were you when you heard that?
I believe we were on the third, either the second floor or third floor, which was the men's. I can't remember which was which.
So this place
floor.
Was more like a prison.
Oh yeah.
It sounds like.
Yeah. I mean. It was big enough that it housed, you know, a couple hundred people, I believe, at a time. I don't know how long a lot of them stayed there. It was only a county jail. But they did have some people of note come through there. If you look at the site, it talks about different ones that came through there.
Yeah.
Suicides and all kinds of...
They could have stayed there a long time, though, because, you know... Jails were different, you know, back then. I think that people stayed in there much longer. But I just wanted to remind everyone, you're listening to Paranormal Horizons. Our guests this evening, Aaron Bilbrey, myself, Pat Rice, and Jason Ophir. We're really pleased to have Aaron on the show for the third time this year, just to hear about everything that he's doing in Dayton, Ohio. And what we like to do around this time of the show is we have commercials that we have created for so many of our guests, friends of Paranormal Horizons. And Jason, I'd like to take just this moment to play the commercial that you created for Dayton, Ohio Supernatural.
Absolutely. I can do that right now.
All right. Great. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
I hope the listeners have the lights on because it's a scary one.
It is a scary one.
Okay, here we go.
You are about to enter into the world of Dayton, Ohio Supernatural.
There are being red. Holy water. Yeah.
Oh, no. It's moving again.
Oh.
Is your house haunted? Are you experiencing strange things such as moving objects, strange sounds, footsteps? Then you should contact Dayton, Ohio Supernatural Paranormal Investigations.
Get in here now.
You guys hear a little girl? I swear I just heard a little girl.
You can locate DOS on Facebook at facebook.com/DaytonOhioSupernaturalDOS.
Would you be mad if I sprinkled some holy water down here?
Oh, that's freaky.
What?
Cleansing.
I got pushed on the septic now. Swear to God. Oh my God.
The paranormal world is all around us. We don't always see it, but it's there. If you're experiencing strange things in your home or business, why don't you give Dayton, Ohio Supernatural a call and see if you can get some answers.
Woo! My whole house is dark right now, so now the only thing I have on is my lava lamp.
Oh, nice.
I'm gonna be afraid to go down the stairs. It's, you know, something invisible is gonna push me down the stairs.
Well, especially after the EVP we just heard from the licking jail. Now, that was really amazing, Aaron. I mean, I very clearly heard "get out of here." So that's pretty freaky. So what else happened there at that? Now. The licking jail, it's interesting that it has that name, because isn't there a licking river in Kentucky where Bobby Mackey's is? Or
I'm not sure about the Kentucky, but I know that there in Newark it is Licking County, so there's Licking River,
okay,
and Licking State Park and all that. I'm not sure if it extended down to Bobby Mackey's in that area, because that's the Ohio River there, so I don't know.
Okay.
But I can
so
see
what else?
That.
Yeah, but anyway, I mean, that was just a little demographics history there. But what else happened at that, you know, that investigation when you were doing this jail / prison? Now, when did that actually shut down?
I want to say it hasn't been shut down a long time. I think within the last 20 years or something like that. It's not been shut down forever. Maybe it was even like around 2004, 2005. I can't remember.
Okay. Yeah. But it was old. I mean, do you know, like, when it was built? Or, I mean, it sounds like it kind of had quite a bit of, you know, prisoners coming in and out.
Yeah, I think it was I want to say late 1800s.
Oh, boy, that's old, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, way overdue for that. Yeah, that place should be shut down.
1889, I just confirmed it by looking at the website.
Yeah, okay. Well, did anything else interesting happen there?
I'm trying to think. We got several EVPs, several things on with the spirit box. We were in the women's cells, and you could hear on the spirit box a woman says, "Why don't you come in here?" Or, you know, things like that. Probably, you know, we usually do pretty good wherever we go. We usually get at least 20 or 30 things, with maybe like one or two standouts.
Mm-hmm.
In that place, the standout was definitely the get out of here.
Yeah. Now, the other, we've got two more EVPs that you've recorded. Mm-hmm. We've got one called Pump Room and one called mm-hmm. Pool. So which one do you want to talk about next, Pump Room?
Well, these were from Fox Hollow Farm in Indiana.
Okay.
And it's a huge house. It's like a $1.2 million mansion. And the story basically is the biggest serial killer
Herb Baumeister, who lived there with his wife and kids, like in the 80s, 1980s. And he would basically, it was a huge house with woods behind it. They had an in-ground pool. It was recently in a Ghost Adventures episode as well. And this man, Herb, he would go out to the gay bars and he'd pick up men and, you know, tell them he had an in-ground pool and to come back to his house. And he'd get them back there and get them in the pool, and he'd basically sneak up behind them with something, a tube from the pool or something like that, and strangle them. And then he'd drag them into this pump room, which is right by the pool. That's why you have one EVP that says pool and one that says pump. And, you know, when they were back in the pump room, they'd probably be half dead or dying and pleading for their lives. And then after these men would die, he'd drag them out to the forest behind his house, and he'd burn parts of their bodies and bury them. And, you know, after once the police finally got hot on his trail, Herb killed himself, but they found, like, I don't know, anywhere from 11 to 17 different bodies worth of bones back in the woods, and they're still finding bones back there to this day. Now another, a man, a woman, and his two kids live there now, and it was a public investigation that we went to instead of a private one. And there was about probably 15 people there. But the place is so huge that, you know, there was plenty of room for everybody to spread out for their own teams. And everybody was pretty polite about it. And, you know, we were there from maybe 8 p.m. to about midnight. And we had basically investigated every place there that we wanted to. And we actually had quite a bit of EVPs from that place. And one of the EVPs that you have for me is from the pool, the indoor pool. And we were sort of talking in the EVP to another team about how the pool was kind of slimy. And somebody put their feet in the pool, and I guess it was a little slimy. And so you hear us saying something about the pool being slimy, and then you hear a pretty audible whisper of the word help come through.
Oh, wow.
Which is, if you watch the Ghost Adventures episode, they're in the same spot in the pool room, and they get the same whisper of help in the same episode.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. Well, let's go ahead and hear that.
Okay, great.
Okay, here we go. Here's the pool EVP.
It is a little quiet. Yeah, not quiet as much, just funny.
Wow.
I heard a whisper that sang help.
Me too.
Let's try it again.
Let's play it one more time, yeah.
Yeah, I turned up the volume just a little bit. Here we go.
It is a little quiet. Yeah, not quiet as much, just funny.
That almost sounds like that sounds like a kid to me. I don't know.
Yeah, it sounds like they were right there, you know, whoever it is. But, it's kind of a whisper, so it could be man, woman, or child, you know. With whispers, it's kind of hard to tell.
Well, but if he was, if Herb was abducting or killing, it sounds like gay men.
Yeah.
That was his primary target, that there could have been a young person that he, you know, was able to trick, you know, a young gay person is what I'm saying. So, yeah, and they know of 11 to 17 bodies and probably more. So, boy, I sure couldn't live in that place after that. That, ooh.
Right, for sure. And, they think he may have been connected to the disappearances of, like, 50 people between Ohio and Indiana.
And what was the name of that serial killer?
Herb Baumeister, B-A-U-N-E-I-T. P-E-R. Yeah.
I'm going to look that up.
Yeah, you should.
Yeah. Go ahead.
He's probably considered to be one of the biggest serial killers, you know, in the history of the United States. He just doesn't have his name out there like, you know, Ted Bundy or John Wayne Gacy.
Right. But so he never really went to trial. He killed himself, you said, right?
Yeah, he killed himself before the cops ever
Yeah, so probably not as much notoriety as, you know, tracking someone down like Ted Bundy and Macy and all of that. So, but that sounds like he was busy. Fox Hollow Mansion. Well, let's hear the...
Well, let me explain the other one. There were other teens there, and so we were going to go into the pump room that's by the pool, you know, where he would drag the bodies to. And while we were in that pump room, another team was outside in the pool, and they had one person in the pool and another person sneaking up behind that person, like pretending to strangle him in the pool, basically.
Ew.
And this was going on while we were in the pump room, and we were getting... We got so many things while we were in there. The obelisk was saying squeeze and help and all this stuff. And through the spirit box, we probably got like 15 to 20 different help me and helps coming out of there. And the one you're going to hear, you can hear somebody yell, get up, like they got somebody down on the ground and they're just messing with them. And then you hear another person say, help me. And I sent these EVPs to the current owners of Fox Hollow, and they confirmed that the person saying get up was Herb's voice, and they think that the other one, the help, is probably one of his victims that's named Alan.
Cool. So
go ahead and play that one if you like.
Okay, we'll play it right now. So that was the voice of Herb through the ghost box saying help?
Yeah, through the spirit box.
Okay.
Well, I heard I heard the get up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Let's listen to it again. Let me turn it up. Here we go.
I heard the help that time, too. Did you, Jason?
I didn't hear the other part.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I could hear get up. That this one, it has more, you know, white noise around it. But I heard it. You want to play it one more time?
Yeah. Where is the get up right after the help?
No, it's before it. The get up's in the middle of it. First, it's me at the beginning talking, and then there's a get up, and then help right at the end.
Yeah, it's kind of quick. Yeah.
All right. Listen to it one more time. Okay, I gotcha.
Yeah, it's real quick. And if you're just tuning in here to Paranormal Horizons, that was an EVP from Dayton, Ohio Supernatural at an investigation they did at Fox Hollow Mansion. And where is that located again, Aaron?
Camden, Indiana? Camden or Carmel, I can't remember.
But in Indiana.
Yeah, it's just a little bit north of Indianapolis, probably about 45 minutes north of Indianapolis.
Okay.
And I tell you, it was weird. When we arrived there, they took everybody on a tour of the place. And usually I forego the tours because I have a bad back. And if I got to climb stairs later, I'm not going to climb them now, basically.
Yeah.
So I sat in the front room while they took everybody else on a tour. And, you know, I was just sitting there, so I figure I'll turn on the obelisk and see if it's got anything it wants to say. So I turned it on, and almost immediately the obelisk started talking. And it said, first it said, enemy, which to me wasn't anything. It says enemy quite a lot, frankly, so I wasn't really thinking anything about it. Then it said bury, and said, like to bury something. And so that got my attention a little bit. And then it said under. So right now, within like a minute of turning it on, we got enemy, bury, under. And then it said tree. And then it said cover. So you got enemy, buried, under, tree, cover. And then the tour came back down from upstairs, so I turned off the obelisk because I didn't want to interrupt what anybody was saying. And then the tour headed downstairs towards the in-ground pool. And so I turned it back on again. And then it said outside trail. So it kept saying all these things.
Yeah, that's a kind of a strange string of things for it to randomly say. I would expect, you know, a random communication from a voice box to be like, you know, tree, cover, death, pizza, peaches, ocean.
Right.
You know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it was, that was pretty right on the money for the obelisk there. And I didn't even ask any questions. I just turned it on.
Knowing the events that happened there with the killings and then the bodies being actually disposed of, if you will, it sounds like, you know, under the property back in the forest or whatever, that's pretty, that's pretty powerful message there.
Yeah, really. And for a public hunt, it was really, I was really impressed with the evidence that we were able to get. And I definitely recommend it. They seem to have a like a public hunt about once every month, something like that. It's basically like $25 a person to go, so it's a good deal for sure.
So the family that's living there, I mean, they're able to, but if you will, embrace what happened there, because if they choose to live there, they've got to make the best of it. But then also they're opening up the grounds and covering some expenses that way as well. So, interesting.
Would you live there, Pat?
No.
Neither would I.
I don't know. I think I would. It's a pretty nice house. If you saw it, you might change your mind. It's pretty
really?
Rabid.
I'd be jumping at every house creak, every weird sound. I'd be like running around. You know, pulling my hair out. I don't have any hair, but if I had hair, I'd be pulling it out, freaking out 24/7. I couldn't do it.
Yeah.
It was fun, definitely. And then on Halloween this year, we went back to Sandsville Rectory in Cincinnati. We try to do something every Halloween. The year before, we did Twin City Opera House, and the year before that, we did Whispers Estate. But this year we thought we'd go back to pretty much our favorite place, which is Sudansville Rectory. And, you know, I've been there about eight or nine times now. And every time we get more and more, I think the spirits there have some sort of connection to me because they're constantly calling my name and calling their own names at the same time. And
wow.
I mean, we went there this Halloween, and just from my voice recorder, we got like over 100 EVPs.
Now the rectory, just to refresh my memory, Aaron, the rectory is the place that was that a hospital?
No, it's a church rectory. It's right next to a Catholic church that's closed down. The priest lived there in the church rectory, and there was also like, they had turned the attic into a school at some point, so, you know, kids got there to get taught probably their catechism and things like that. And but then there was, you know, scandal with molestation accusations from that place. And, you know, over the years when it was abandoned, there was dog fighting that took place there and just whole lots of bad stuff. Priests, when they lived there, one priest walked off in a daze and got hit by a train, and they found once a kid, I think it was a 10-year-old boy, who was like hung by a noose on their front door.
Creepy.
No end to the horrible things that have happened there, and so they believe that there's a demon there as well. And
Yeah, I remember you saying that before now. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and the demon on that commercial that Jason made for us where somebody's talking about getting pushed on the stairs, that's from there. You know, we've had team members scratched and pushed, and my eyes have turned red on two occasions in one of the rooms there. And so we believe that that's part of the demon. If you watch the Ghost Adventures episode, again, the owners even seem to have problems with, like, the demon maybe not possessing them, but oppressing them and changing their moods and that kind of thing. And so the last few times we've gone there, we've had it sounds like a little girl named Emily who likes to talk to us and make the K2 meter go off, and you hear her voice all the time on our EVPs, and sometimes I hear it audibly while I'm there. And now we're starting to think that maybe it's not a little girl, maybe it's the demon pretending. And this last time on Halloween when we went there, we got several indications that, you know, it might be the demon screwing with us. I was talking to another crew member about the little girl, and out of nowhere the obelisk says demon. And then later when I'm doing an EVP session and asking about Emily, three or four times over the spirit box you hear evil or demon come up over it. So you know, my warning would be to people, you know, be careful that, you know, you're talking to who you think you're talking to in a lot of places. You know, it may not be the case. So
it's probably not a good place to go, say, take your Ouija board and have fun with the Ouija board in there, I'm assuming?
Well, I don't think they allow it. I don't think they allow you to do a Ouija board session there. They've, you know, over the years, the owners have thought about maybe closing the place. Earlier in the year, they had said, you know, this was going to be it, and then they were just going to close it because they didn't want bad things following people home like has happened to them. But it looks now they've just finished restoring the kitchen, which pretty much restores the whole place. So I think I think the most recent news is that it's going to be open through 2015. So I think people will be able to still go there for a while if they want to. It's a highly active place. I got to tell you, it's probably the most active place I've been to.
Yeah, and you know, we know that ghosts, some spirits, demons, if we want to call them that, they like to disguise themselves, or they're masters at that. So to your point about Emily, the little girl, and then, you know, after you being there so many times, maybe rethinking, maybe it isn't a little girl, you know, maybe it's this entity that likes to play tricks and isn't very nice or whatever. So that's kind of interesting. And I don't know, you know, Jason and I have talked to other people and they've kind of had that, you know, said that as well. And then, you know, also with the demons, you know, there's different takes on that. Oh, are there really demons, or, you know, whatever you want to call it. But we know, or at least we've talked with a lot of people, that there are definitely, like I said, spirits that aren't as nice as others. And they want to cause trouble.
Since you're mentioning demons so many times, Pat, I have to play a demon sound. I have to play a demon sound effect.
Oh, please.
So here we go. Just because you said it more than once. If you say it more than once, and it has to be played. Here we go.
Good. Oh.
And that's what a demon sounds like. I suppose.
Gosh,
my house is
pretty
close.
Yeah, my house is still dark, but I'm gonna have to put on do some saging to protect myself tonight.
You better. Pat said it. I didn't. Oh wait, I did say demon. Oh, see, I said it again.
But
think we're in trouble.
That goes to the whole discussion too, and I think we talked about this with you in the past too, Aaron, is protection. And you know this better than anyone going into these investigations that, you know, this isn't just something that people should do lightly. You've got to know how to do it. You need to protect yourself, whatever that means, saying a prayer, because... And you had mentioned it with the rectory that the owners were concerned about, you know, entities following other people home, and you know, that's you have to be careful with that.
Definitely. In fact, this last time we went, I start recording from the second I go in there, because from the second you go in, I'm like almost always getting different things here and there. And I was, we had a couple new people with us, so I asked them if they had anything for protection, you know, crucifixes or St. Benedict's medals, because I got several things that I can let people use while I'm there. So I was pulling out these different crucifixes that I have. Some are on keychains, some are bracelets, some are necklaces, and I'm showing them to some of the new people, and the K2 meter is just going off like crazy. And then on the recording, when I play it back, I'm talking about the crosses, and you can hear no and different
wow.
no coming over there. And
yeah.
they've always seemed to react negatively to anything sort of Christian, or and I don't know why that is. But we've done things in there where we've took holy water and wrote Jesus on the wall with holy water, or made crosses on the doors. And you can almost always on our EVPs hear, like, they sound like tortured cries and growls and all this stuff when we're doing these things. And
interesting,
you know,
yeah.
They don't seem to like it too much. And even in one EVP, one of our crew members had sprinkled some holy water around, and she says, "How do you like that?" And clear as day, you hear, "Not very good."
Wow.
On the recording. Yeah.
That is so amazing.
And,
yeah,
and
they don't like that higher power. They don't like, Aaron.
No, they don't. Or they don't like it if you have a, you know, strong beliefs, being Christian or Jewish or whatever, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I believe as, you know, if a Jewish person went in there, a Star of David would probably work as well as a cross or anything else. It's just
right.
The
yeah.
belief more than the object. So I don't know.
Right. Well, we are running out of time here on Paranormal Horizons, and you know, Aaron, we really appreciate you coming on the show again. You are such an interesting person to talk to with all these great EVPs.
Yeah, thank you for coming on tonight. There was a last-minute show adjustment. I appreciate you being flexible and doing that. And those are great EVPs. They're really fun to listen to.
Well, thanks. Anytime, and we've got more places we're going to be doing soon. We hope to do Trans-Allegheny Lunatic Asylum this coming year, and maybe do Whispers of State again. And, you know, we'll see what we get to.
All right, well, stay in touch with us, and you have a good holiday season, and then we'll probably plan on talking to you early next year.
Sounds good. Thank
All
you,
right.
Guys.
All
Bye.
Right, good night, Aaron.
Good night, Aaron.
Good night, Pat. Good night, Jason.
Well, that was a great show, and I know, Jason, you just had to run in at the last minute.
No,
because, you know, we
100 miles
have,
an hour.
Yeah, crazy day. So we've got, I just want to let everyone know again, you know, Paranormal Horizons, we're so proud to be part of KITCFM, and you can listen to this show on Saturdays, 10 p.m. Pacific time, KITCFM.com. And of course, you can listen to the on-demand shows anytime on Blog Talk Radio. I wanted to mention real quick again, Jason, I talked about this at the beginning of the show. A friend of Paranormal, Mord McGee, he's been a past guest. He's a writer. He has written a very interesting book, Ghosts of San Francisco, and his second book is coming out, Murdered Red Ink. And November 24th, 25th is the event, it's online, to release his book, and that's at Good Reads, just like it sounds, Good Reads, reads.com. Check it out if you'd like to check out his book, and he's got some special deals going for that book release party online.
Yeah, and he's a musician too, and he actually sent me a song, so we can play that as soon as I get that uploaded.
Oh, that'd be neat, yeah. Now, Jason, we have some great guests coming up in the next couple of weeks. Can you just run by the next couple weeks real quick? I know we've got Steve LaChance and Bill Bean, I believe.
Yeah, you know, pretty big guests in the paranormal. Stephen A. LaChance, he will be, what was the date? I can't remember off the top of my head.
Well, yeah, he's going to be next week, which is the 25th, the Tuesday before Thanksgiving, which is obviously Thanksgiving is next week. And then that puts us into December. December 2nd looks like would be Bill Bean.
Yep, for sure Bill Bean on the 2nd. And I'm kind of excited about it because I told him that I would make a commercial for him. And I think he's going to send me some sound bites of his own voice to work with. So I'm hoping to have that done so I can play it during the show and just add another commercial to our repertoire.
Oh, wonderful. And then also for that show, December 2nd, I'm actually going to be on vacation, but our guest co-host is going to be Cheryl Ann Fletcher, another friend of Paranormal Horizon. She's been on the show two or three times. She's a wonderfully talented psychic and empath, and that's going to be nice to have her on December 2nd.
Absolutely. She's totally pumped for it. So am I. It'll be great. We're going to miss you, but I think you're going to be soaking up some rays somewhere in the world.
I am. Yeah, I've got to go into some sunshine. So a well-needed, long-awaited vacation. But I'll be here next week, Jason, for another wonderful episode of Paranormal Horizons.
Yeah. And
all right, so let's go ahead and close out for the evening. Are you going to do the closing?
Yep, I'll do it.
All right.
For some reason, I was having some issues before, and I don't know what it was, but those issues have resolved. So I will resume to be the button master, so to speak.
All right, everybody. Well, thanks for tuning in again. We'll be back next week, Tuesday, 7 p.m. Pacific time. I'm Pat Rice. Good night.
And I'm Jason Ophir. Have a great evening.
You have been listening to Paranormal Horizons with your hosts, Pat Rice and Jason Ophir. Be sure to come listen to the show next Tuesday at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, only on Blog Talk Radio. And also, check out our Facebook at Paranormal Horizons on Facebook.